I'm back with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing in American Greatness about the catastrophe at the border. But that's a part of the larger failure of what is called popularly woke, what is more properly understood as liberal utopianism, as in nowhereism. Because the agenda here was offered to us as a solution, as a way forward. Destroying borders clearly is no longer a way forward. The major cities of the North can see that as they're overwhelmed. However, it is not clear that every institution understands that destroying meritocracy is to destroy what we regard as civilization. Victor, I want to focus on the education world, not only for university level at your level, but the K through 12, all those universities. Is there a recognition now that the doctrine of liberal utopianism, that there are no differences between the genders, that there are no differences between succeeding and not succeeding in class or doing your homework and not doing your homework? Is that now apparent to the people who have offered it to us? In other words, are they watching this come back at them and destroying their families?
They're starting to, but I think it's going to hit hardest our so-called elite schools, liberal arts colleges like Oberlin or Amherst or big universities with huge endowments that are very prestigious, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, because they have this name that they've invested in based on turning out the so-called best educated graduates. But for a long time, their curricula have been therapeutic, and now they're not proportional representation admissions, they're repertory. And what I mean by that is if, say, the so-called white population is 65 to 70% of the population, but you are restricting it to 20%, you're doing that by only throwing out SAT scores as, you know, not applicable. And then you're not rating high school GPAs in the way that you yourself used to. So what we're seeing is these universities are saying, ourselves 5 years ago were racist, and therefore we're rejecting everything we've done in the past because it's not appropriate. But our name in the present depends on what we did in the past. So it's kind of, they don't know how to square that circle. So what's happening, and I think it's going to happen at a rapid rate, a lot of employers are saying, you know what? We've looked at your curriculum. We were looking at some of these people that are coming out of these universities for the first class that came in under these repertory guidelines. And we'd rather hire someone from Hillsdale, or we'd rather hire someone from Cal State LA or something like that, that haven't adopted this. And when you have a liberal arts college saying, doing surveys, and 40% of the student body feels that it's gender fluid or maybe perhaps trans, whereas that number is less than 4 or 5% at many state universities, then you get the impression that that agenda has taken hold of these universities, and these universities depended on employers and others, parents, recognizing they turned out a superbly educated and stable student, and they don't see that anymore. And I think it's going to increasingly become dubious that they can continue that and while maintaining their cachet. I don't think it's possible.
One more detail about institutions. This would be law and order. Is it perceived now in California, which has been at the forefront of all these experiments, that the closing of the franchises, North and South, San Francisco and Los Angeles, that's a direct consequence of the pilfering? Is it now understood that the pilfering must stop? Have they admitted that they're having their stores and their neighborhoods wrecked?
When you say they, I would think that would be 51% of the population and maybe 50% of the elected officials, yes. But that doesn't mean they have the courage or even the curiosity or ability to stop what they've unleashed. And so, in other words, they're going to have reparative justice. And that means clamp down quickly to restore deterrence. I don't think they're capable of that. And the result is 600,000 people have left California in the last 18 months. These huge chain stores are leaving. And then their own constituencies are saying, oh, there's no Target. There's no Whole Foods. We can't get stuff we want. And then the city council fights of whether they want to enforce the law or not. And in the process, people leave. But, you know, it's all based on the premise that we are Californians. We have the most beautiful state. We inherited the richest inheritance from our parents. And we once had the best education, the best infrastructure, and therefore we can't fail. We have Silicon. And that's not written in stone. And I think it's failing. And a lot of people are saying somehow this generation did the impossible. They destroyed a beautiful, naturally beautiful state and one of the richest inheritance of any state that that received an inheritance. And we're leaving, or that life's miserable here. And I think it's going to catch up finally, but not until thousands of lives have been wrecked.
Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing in American Greatness. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.